friends and visitors. Welcome to this gospel meeting tonight. Let us go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, dear God, with our heads bowed down, dear God, in humble submission to your will and your way. Thank you, dear God, for giving us another opportunity to hear your word spoken, dear God. We pray for the man tonight, dear God, who's going to come and break the word with us tonight. Pray, dear God, that you give him ready recollection of things he's studied, dear God. Pray that he'll deliver them in a way that we can understand it, dear God, that we can apply it to our lives and we can live a life that's worthy of this calling, dear God. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who wanted to be here tonight, but for some reason they couldn't make it. We pray to God that they could make it maybe tomorrow night and hear the word tonight, dear God. Father God, we just pray to God for each and every one of us here tonight, that you open our hearts and our mind, our understanding, that we can understand these words, dear God, and apply them to our lives. We pray to God, if it's anything we've done contrary to your will and your way, dear God, that you forgive us from, dear God. And Father God, give us strength, dear God, to overcome those things that beset us, dear God, that cause us to sin against you, dear God. Give us strength, dear God, to resist the wiles of the devil, dear God. Father, we love you so very much. We appreciate all that you do for us, dear God. Yes. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, our scripture for tonight is going to come from John chapter 4, and the verses 21 through 24. That's John chapter 4, and the verses are 21 through 24. And the Bible reads, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen.
Amen. After which, Brother Collins is going to come and introduce our speaker for the evening. All day long of Jesus I am singing. He's my song of joy will ever be. And all the while he keeps my heart bell ringing. For his love is everything to me. Don't you know that he's my precious king? And oh, I dearly love him. He's my glorious king. No other is a love him. And all day long in rapture praise I sing. He's my blessed Savior. He's my blessed King. And streams of love around soul are flowing from his heart, love's everlasting spring. And that is why my faith in him I'm showing. And that is why an endless song I sing. Don't you know that he's my precious king? And he's my glorious king, no other is above him. And all day long in rapture praise I sing that he's my blessed Savior, he's my king, my blessed king. And in his light I'm going home to glory. And with
souls whose trust is saving grace, going home to sing and tell his story in the blessed sunshine of his faith. Don't you know that he's my precious king? And oh, I dearly love him, singing that he's my glorious king. No other is above him. And all day long, in rapture praise I sing that he's my blessed Savior. He's my King, my blessed King.
Amen, amen. He is our King. And amen. Look around the kingdom and we see the people that God has assigned to be his people and the people that he can stamp his name on. What a good day to be here to praise God, worship him, and give him all the glory and honor that he so deserves. I want to welcome you here tonight for the second day of our gospel meeting here at Franklin Street Church of Christ. We had a wonderful day on Saturday when Sister Patricia Nunley came and kick-started us off with the women. They had a wonderful time. They had a good meal, and they had good fellowship. And let God be praised for that. Amen. And on Sunday evening, we had our own brother, Larry Nunley, her husband, the husband and the wife, allowing us to be able to know God better with their teachings here at Franklin Street. And we asked Brother Nunley to come down again to do the gospel meeting for us. And the title of tonight's lesson is called Kingdom Worship. On Tuesday night, it's going to be called Parenting the Kingdom, and on Wednesday night, Kingdom Faith. And kingdom worship is a wonderful thing because we all subjects of God's kingdom, and we should worship God, as the scripture said, and worship in spirit and in truth. But what I want to tell you tonight about Brother Nunley is what I'm allowing him to tell you, because he doesn't need any introduction at all. He does a real good job of doing that. He has a wonderful history, as you see. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as my brother is concerned as well, we have hearts knit together like David and Jonathan. Right. I feel like I've been knowing him for forever. He is a good friend, and he's a brother in Christ. And I can't help but think that when you look over the mountain sometimes and you just envision all the tents that are circled around, standing in the door of those tents waiting for Moses to speak to him is what I want you to just enlist your heart tonight to do the same thing. Allow your heart to circle around God's word tonight and allow Brother Nunley to speak to you through God's word that you might be a people of his kingdom. Brother Larry Nunley.
Is the mic on? Can you hear me? Oh, good. I don't need a mic. I have a big mouth. I'm a Nunley. We do this. Good afternoon. Oh, good morning. Good evening to you guys. We're blessed to be here. Again, I'm giving you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ at Airport Freeway Church of Christ in Euless, Texas, where I minister. We are blessed to be here, my beautiful wife and I, to speak to you. Thank you for allowing us to come. We see it as a privilege and look forward to being with you guys a long time in the spirit and working with Christ, but even longer in eternity in heaven. So we already punched our ticket. We were baptized into Christ. And we because our ticket is punched, we walk that way. And we're not trying to get salvation. We have it already. And we're walking in that light. So we want you to encourage one another as we meet and get the word out that Franklin Street is here, not only for this gospel meeting, but it's here. We worship on Sunday. We worship. And we come together. And when we come together on Sunday, the worship is not a battleground. It is a family reunion. We get together, fellowship with each other. And so we just want to keep that in mind and just ask God to bless us in everything we do. I want to tell this joke. My cousin, Jack Evans Senior, Jr., told me this joke about this man who bought a horse. And I don't know if I told y'all or not, but I heard y'all with a horse about a man. A man bought a gospel horse. He went up to the man. He said, I want to buy a horse. The guy was selling for $5,000. He said, $5,000? Is that expensive for a horse? The guy said, yeah, but this is a gospel horse. A gospel horse. What do you mean a gospel horse? He said, most horses, when you want them to go, they giddy up. And when you want them to stop, you go, whoa. He said, but that doesn't work with this horse. This is a gospel horse. He said, how you make it go? He said, a gospel horse to get it go, you say, praise the Lord. And to make it stop, you go, hallelujah. He said, okay. And the man bought the horse, took it out, took it home, let it rest for a while. He got on the horse. He tried out. He got on. He sat there. He went, horse just stood there. And he went, oh, it's a gospel horse. He said, praise the Lord. The horse started walking. He said, oh, all right, all right, all right. You know, he said, praise the Lord. The horse started galloping. He said, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Man, the horse was open, an open sprint. He was flying, and the man loved it, but he looked up and saw himself coming to the edge of a cliff. He was like, whoa, whoa. Horse kept flying. And he remembered, there's a gospel horse. He said, oh, yeah, hallelujah. Boy, that horse hit the brakes, slid to right up the edge of the mountain. He sat back, wiped his brow. He said, praise the Lord. I like that joke. I tell that a lot. And Jack told me, he said, you make sure you put my name on it. So, y'all, we are in the kingdom of heaven. And I keep pushing this, and I don't want to overemphasize it to where it's become uncomfortable. But, y'all, I'm going to heaven. Thank you. Mwah. I'm going to heaven. I'm not trying to get there. I'm not, you know, sending. We used to sing a song, sending up my timber. I'm not sending up timber. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Jesus is doing the best. I'm not sending any timber from this earth up there. God promised me, Larry, you follow me, you're going to make it. That's a promise. And he made it plain. You know, sometimes we try to act like the Bible is a difficult book. And, you know, especially when you go and read it, we say, oh, my goodness, I just can't understand the Bible. Especially when it was written, you know, the King James Version was written in Shakespearean style language with the thee, thou, thou, and seven people. Oh, I don't understand that. Well, they changed it to different versions, NIV, ESV, all these different versions that you could read it. But people still pretend like, oh, it's so difficult. No, it's not. If you have a heart that says, God, lead me, he will show you through the scriptures. The Bible said plainly, God is not willing that any man perish, but all come to repentance. So for us to act like, I just can't understand it, it's because you don't want to. When you just, God, speak, I'll hear, command, and I'll obey. Come to God with that heart, the words will unfold to you. It's called revelation. So, yo, I have problems. I sin, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm not using that scripture, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. I'm not using that as an excuse. That's just a statement of fact. I sin. I don't have bodies under my house. I don't cheat on my wife. I'm not embezzling millions of dollars. I'm not doing that. But my sins are still my sins, and they're no worse than these sins. And when God looks at me, he doesn't look at me and go, boy, I got a good one out of Larry. He sees sin, dirt. But before that, he sees the blood of his son. I'm going to heaven. I want you to take that idea. When you have life, I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what you sin and your struggle. There's no excuse. Repent. But don't repent thinking like, oh, I got God back. No. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There was a person who told me, I heard somebody say, the people going doing these things and going places that you can't take Jesus into no club. I understand what they're saying, but if you go to a club, you better hope Jesus go with you. I'm serious. You better hope. I've been to clubs and I've seen Jesus save a whole lot of folk in a club. Y'all, I'm not trying to get you to go to the club. I'm just saying life is hard. I wish it was cookie cutter. I wish everything was black and white. I wish it was. I wish I can just go, that's sin, that's not sin, that's sin, that's... I wish life was that simple. Is it? No. It's some people struggling with stuff right now, and they look just like a no-down, no-good sinner. And they doing those things. But deep down in their heart, they're going, Emmett, don't give up on me. Please don't. I know it looks like I'm out here drinking and getting drunk and I'm walking away from my family. I know that. But if you look a little deeper, amen. I'm trying. Man, one time my daughter, I hope I don't break down and cry. My daughter was working and she was just having trouble because it was during the pandemic when they had to stay at home and do it through the computer. That threw her all off. That threw her off. And she got in trouble and I spanked her. I mean, she got in trouble. She had some bad grades and stuff and I spanked her. And I'm standing over her and I'm fussing at her about her work. She turned and looked at me. She said, Daddy, I'm trying. Oh, great. Her hand reached up in there, grabbed my heart, just started squeezing it. Yes, we do wrong. We struggle, and we don't always want to. You remember Romans chapter 7, where Paul said, he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do. I don't want to curse. I don't want to get drunk. I don't want to fight. I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to be self. I don't want to, but I just get caught up. Oh, wretched man I am. Then he said, who shall save me from this body of sin? And he kept writing Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad God didn't put it all in your hand to get yourself to heaven? Oh, because if he did, Emmy, if everything was on my shoulders to get me to heaven, I had to find God. I had to be righteous. I had to get it down. I would end up in hell. That's why he sent Jesus. He died 2,000 years ago. And I believe when he stretched his hands out on that cross, he said, this is for Larry Nunley, who's going to be born October the 26th, 1964, Huntsville, Alabama, Madison County Hospital, to Joanne and A.B. Nunley. Well, why are you doing this? Because he is an idiot. And he'll never make it back home if I don't go get him. That's why they call it gospel. Good news. So I'm not up here because I got things right. I'm not up here because I do things accurate and I'm real. No. I'm up here because God said, mercy, 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 mercy. That's why I'm here. And I do not make excuses for my sin. I do not say, well, all have sinned. No, I don't do that. I repent. I fall. I struggle. But man, you know what? When I do all those things, I get up and I do what? Worship. That's why we here. You got to understand that. That's why we come to church, not to go through religious practices. That's not what worship is. There was a practice just like when I was a kid, especially when I was that age right there. How old is he? 9 years old. I hated baths. I don't want to take no bath. I was too busy. So what? I had word of same prayer 3 days in a row. I didn't want to take a bath. I was too busy until my mother made me take a bath. My daddy made me take a bath. And I took a bath one day and I was walking around in school and a little girl went, ooh, you smell good. I'm back in the shower. I'm going to find Lisa again. He's trying to turn this is a practice, into your culture. Worship is not an activity that you sit down and do only. It is your way of life. That's who you are. A true worshiper, you can't limit his worship to this building on Sunday. True worshipers, you can't. True givers, you can't limit their giving when the collection plate comes. True givers give. People who pray, you can't limit them to pray just when they get ready to eat. True prayers pray. That's what they do. That's their culture. That's what Jesus saying when he said, "Thy kingdom come." What is he saying? Bring down the culture of heaven down here and spread that like wildfire. I'm trying to take over this world. So worship. You got to understand, worship is a manifestation of something. I have it here. Oh, thank you. Okay. I have it here. Worship. Hold on. Worship is an expression from an experience with God. Repeat after me. Worship is an expression from an experience with God. Worship is an expression from an experience with God. One more time, but say it like you mean it. Worship is an expression from an experience. Come on. What does this mean? Worship is an expression. Let me give you an example. If I came up to somebody and I had a needle and they were standing there and I came up behind them and I poof, what are they going to do? That's a reaction. And they make an expression. Why? Because of the prick. But what happens when that person is sitting there? I did not come up behind them and stick them, but they still doing that. Something wrong. You think something wrong with them. And I'm saying, I was walking around, hide him, brother. You would think something's wrong with him. But if you stick me with a pen, it makes sense. You don't think I'm crazy? It makes sense. Also crazy is, what if I come up to a person and I take the needle and stick them and they just expressionless? You think, something wrong. Let's look at worship. God's experience on you is the prick. You are either expressing, called worship, or God has not pricked you and you trying to worship without any prick, or you sitting there and you got pricked and was not moved at all. There's some people who God have saved. Do you know when you become a Christian, instantly God says worship? Why? You got pricked. Instantly God says worship. But there's some people who trying to worship God without the prick. I spoke to some people and they said, I'm a Christian. I said, how did you become a Christian? Oh, I said the sinner's prayer. Nowhere found in the Bible. Nowhere found in the Bible. Or I felt it in my heart. I have this thing, I go around and I ask people, strangers. I asked them, I said, how you doing, sir? Am I ask you a question? Yeah. If the answer to the question is yes, tell me how. If the answer to the question is no, tell me why. And they said, okay. I said, the question is, are you a Christian? They say yes. I said, tell me how you became a Christian. You'd be surprised how many multiple answers I've gotten. And some of them thought, well, I'm a Christian just because I was raised in a Christian home. That made me a Christian. There's so many people who try to worship God from that place. And then you have some people who receive God's prick every day. Then they come to church.
got to go to church tonight. They got the gospel meeting going on. Or I'm not going tonight because I don't feel like it. Worship is a response to God's prick. When Jesus came to this woman at the well, he was talking to this woman, and this woman brought to him a whole bunch of arguments of sociology and religious. She said, "Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well?" And then she was like, "Well, you are a Jew and I'm a Gentile." All these arguments, sociology and political and religious. And Jesus finally said, "Woman, where your husband?" You know what Jesus was doing? I believe Jesus was like, okay, you got all this stuff. You got all this information. Where your husband? Right. Now you got. She said, "I'm not the woman at the well. Mine right here." He said, "Where you have?" What was he saying? You got all this information, but none of it will allow you to keep a husband in the home. There's a lot of people got a whole bunch of religion in their life, yet they go to work, can't do this, can't appreciate work, can't appreciate life, always, man, got this frown, come to church, you don't like the preacher, don't like the elders, don't like the song, go over here, don't like people, just are always, You got all this religion, worshiping. You know, you ever heard some people, "I got to go to a church where I feel it." You know what I'm telling? I got to feel it. Thank you. Wow. Running around the church. Oh, my God. Doing all this stuff. They got to go to church where it gets them emotional. Worship is not about emotions. It involves them, but it's not about them. What is it about? John 4, start verse 21. What does he say?
Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father."
So what was that? "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming where there's going to be a time where you won't worship here or here." In other words, buildings and signs won't be the dictating factor of your worship. Come on. I'm talking to the Church of Christ now. Buildings and sign does not dictate or define who the church is. Never has, never will. I understand it. I get it. It's like when I go to a shoe store. When I see a swish on the box, I don't have to check to see what's in the box. I know what's there. When I see the little mark in the star, I know those are Converse. When I see the stripes, I know those are Adidas. When I see the little cat, I know that's a Puma. I don't have to go look. The mark it's embedded in us, right? When I go to a pastor church of Christ in a church, I pretty much know what's being taught there. I don't have to go in there and find out. I pretty much know. I get that. But that does not define the Church of Christ. That phrase is not simply a phrase. It is an understanding. We are the ecclesia, the called out of God into Christ to do what? To go back into the world and proclaim the gospel. That's our job. That's our definition. Jesus said there's two things that will define Christians to the world. One of them was the love that you have for one another. What did he say? He said, "They will know you are my disciples when you show love for one another." Then he said the next one is the Holy Spirit, because no one else can have it. I don't care how religious you are. If you're not baptized into Christ according to scriptures, you don't have it. I didn't make that up. That's scripture. And please, if you want to talk to me about it, I'll be out here. We need to discuss these things. Why? It's about people's soul. We're in the kingdom because I want you to worship. And he says it's going to be a time where they're not going to worship here. They're not going to worship here. Keep reading.
"You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews."
Now notice here, I'll put this right here. And I want this for people who are preaching the gospel, who are evangelists by nature. Jesus did not try to placate to this woman. He could have said, well, you know, the Samaritans, you know, they pretty good. And you know what? I know what you mean. And amen, sister. He did not do that. You know what he said? Y'all Samaritans, y'all worship what y'all do not know. You don't know. We Jews, we're doing it right. Why? Because salvation is of the Jews. What was he talking about? One, they were the chosen people. Two, he came from this chosen people. My point is, Jesus wasn't beating around the bush. I heard so many people. I watch preachers on TV all the time. I hear so much watered down religion. Trying to get people, I want you to like me and come into my building. I'd rather you dislike me, but still come into the kingdom. You understand? It's about the word. He said, man, there's going to come a time where you won't worship here. You won't get caught up in this and this and this. He said, but remember, you Samaritans, y'all got it wrong. Salvation is of the Jews. Keep reading.
But the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
The hour is coming where the true worshipers. What was Jesus saying? You remember what he was saying? You remember what Jesus preached more than anything in Matthew? The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. Do you know when Jesus preached, he wasn't looking for amens? He wasn't looking for amen. I see so many preachers. Amen. Help me out. Amen. Amen. You know, he wasn't looking for amen. Jesus knew. He told us. He said, when you preach, you're going to offend some folks. He said it. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And I'm going to divide even families from one another. Why? Because the word of God split folks on the right and the left. They call the sheep and the goats. Jesus said, I'm not here to try to placate to you. Remember when Pilate had him, he was before Pilate said, man, what's wrong with you? You better speak. Don't you know I have the power to decide if you love? Jesus said, you have no power. You have no power unless it come from above. Let's get that first, turkey. You have no power. I'm not trying to sit here and just sweet talk you. Remember when Jesus went to the cross? He didn't go up there, hey, y'all, let me explain myself. Jesus was quiet. Amen. Why? Because right now you're not worthy for me to give an explanation to. I got bigger stuff to do. I'm not trying to kiss up to you. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, do you know if I want to, I have at my disposal 12 legions of angels to come and wipe this stuff up. And I don't need 12. You remember the time he had one? That killed 185,000 Syrians. And he really doesn't need that because Jesus could have snapped his finger and done it himself. Don't try to placate to people when you preach the gospel. You got a bunch of stuff happening out there in society. Men talking about they can act. And I'm not trying to run them. I feel sorry for a man who feels uncomfortable in his own body. And he decides, well, I'm going to put on a dress and try to make myself feel more natural. This person is a lost sheep. We need to help them, not run them down and embarrass them and kick them out and try to stop them. We need to teach in love. Stop running people down just because they do stuff and their sin is not your sin. Stop running people down. Because if that's the case, then God gonna come run you down. Worship, you know what worship does? Worship brings us all together. Because as you said it yesterday, I love how you said it. We worship an audience of one. And when we worship an audience of one, guess who the focus is? God, not me. Because when I make the stuff me, I start comparing myself to you. And guess what? You're better than me on some things. You got some things I don't have. And then that's going to cause me to feel less. But when God is the focus, everybody kneels down and bows. Just like Matthew in the upper room. He just hit himself on the chest and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. God's trying to get us into the kingdom. Heaven is the end result of the kingdom. Worship is here now. You know, we have so many Christians trying to get to heaven. I just want to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. Yes, but that shouldn't be your goal. Your goal should be to glorify God now. Heaven is a byproduct of that. You understand? When you plant an apple seed, what comes out of the tree? I'm just giving what comes out of the tree. An apple. The apple is the byproduct of the seed. When you plant the seed of righteousness in the kingdom, heaven is what's going to pop up in your eternal end. That's the way it is. I don't have to try to go, God, get to heaven. If you're going to try to go to heaven, then which way is it? Where's your first step? But when you want to please God, all you got to do is open the book. Hallelujah. That's the place right there. Set your focus, your worship, your work here now. Why? Heaven is going to be your home. It's called eternal life. So where's God getting us? He's telling this woman, woman, you're so caught up in worldly minds. You tried to bring man's concept of worship into a spiritual reality, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Let me tell you something. If you get caught up in these pews, I've had people leave churches because they don't like the colors of the pew. I don't like that church. I don't like that song leader. I don't like that preacher. I don't leave. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, he said, I wanted to bring you spiritual things, but you was too caught up in carnal thinking. I couldn't give you spiritual things. And I know you were carnal thinking. Why? Because there was division and fighting among you. So caught up in what you want to do and how you want to do it. And okay, you don't like my ministry? I'll take my ministry and go to church over here. God's trying to get us. Worship is a uniting. You know what worship also is? A medicine. It is a medicine. What does God offer us when we come to worship? He says, leave every problem at the door. Leave every problem, every fright, every this, every, leave it out there and come worship me naked. And I don't take off no clothes. I'm not talking about that. I mean, strip down your bare, who you are. What's the next scripture say?
God is a spirit.
Come on.
And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth.
God is a spirit. Do you know you're not from heaven? You are from God. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You're from God. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. What is God? A spirit. You are a spirit being. When you get caught up in, I'm African-American, I'm Irish-American, I'm this American, or you get caught up in all that stuff, you're giving yourself the lesser. Come on. The deep, real part of you, I am spirit. Yeah. I belong to God. Yeah. My destination is not here. My destination is with my Father. Calling you to a bigger thing. And when all of this happened, guess what the natural inkling is to do? Worship. Amen. And you don't wait till Sunday to do that. No. Oh, come on. God is calling us. When people think church is about you coming and sitting in this building and singing a song, and yet, no. A lot of times people dismiss the experience with God and try to come in and worship. What would happen if you, and I'm just using this facetiously, what happened if you said that and you went to a store and bought a scratch off? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Give me 10 lucky sevens and 15 on the green ones over there. Give me 3 reds and a pack of Camel. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been to the store. Come on, y'all been to the store. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, you get that thing set in the car. Y'all said the preacher know how to do that pretty good. He must have, he must have been in buying the Camels and scratching off. But you know, he getting there scratching off. Boy, that thing come up. What first thing you do?
What's the first thing you do when you want to, when you, good news happens? What's the first natural reaction? Go tell somebody. Thank you, Jesus. You want to tell somebody in worship. You want to tell somebody, thank you, Jesus. Hey, man, come here. That's natural. When that doesn't happen, something is wrong. Jesus said, God is a spirit. So what is God doing? He's trying to tickle your spiritual being. But you will miss that if you're so caught up in your worldly being. You win the lottery, buy a new car. Now you got this new car. Now you can't park it anywhere across. You scared somebody going to bump and nick it. Bought a new house. Don't want to invite anybody over because they can't. Y'all remember that room? I'm from Tennessee. You remember that room you had, that one room your aunt and him had that you couldn't go in that room? You better get out of mama's room. Has that plastic runner that run through the carpet. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Had that room, had all the good china in there. You better get out of that room. That right had all this. Don't want nobody in all this stuff. Don't want nobody in. Don't want to touch it. But that stuff, you're so caught up in this worldly stuff that you're missing the spiritual stuff. I'm going to preach a sermon, God's willing, I believe it's Wednesday, called Kingdom Faith. And it's coming from Luke chapter 5. Please go read it. It's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. In that, once Peter caught all those fish, it dawned on him. This is not about fish. It's not about fish. It's not about fish. Then he ran up to Jesus and said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. God trying to get us to spiritual realities. So when you worship, if you just caught up in the pace of the song or the pitch and you decide not to sing, then you caught up in the worldly part. You caught up in the worldly part. But when you are there before work and you have a problem and you go to work and you think your boss is going to lay you off, but he gives you a promotion. Praise God. When that song come on, girl, how bad he sing, this light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why? Because of the prick. That's what worship is all about. Kingdom worship is a medicine because he said, leave all your problems out there and come look at me. Man, God. Man. But Lord, there's some people sitting here right now. They're saying, I would, Lord, but I've tried it before. I tried it before. God says what? Keep on trying. Until what? Until I call you home.
That's all right.
Okay? Worship is a spiritual thing. Not only is it spirit, he said it is truth. The stuff we do, y'all, we cannot make up ourselves and do what God has given us orders to do. Why? Worship is by design. Man didn't say, you know what, God is so good, I'm going to worship him. Man didn't do that. The first worship we see, that we read about, is in Genesis chapter 4. When Cain and Abel, God came to Cain and Abel, he said, Cain, Abel, bring me a worship, bring me a sacrifice. Cain's was rejected, Abel's was received. God came to Cain, he said, Cain, why is your countenance? In other words, Cain, why you look upset? If you do what's right,
all right,
then you'll be accepted.
All right.
But if you don't do what's right, sin crouches at your door. And you know what that means? The commentators give an analogy of a lion crouching, ready to bounce on his prey. Sin crouches at your door. Worship is a serious thing. Worship is a reaction. Cause, effect. Action, reaction. Stimulus, response. Worship is on this side. You remember when Jacob was running from his brother Esau? He stole the birthright and stuff, and his mother sent him to his uncle Laban's house. On his way, he went to sleep, and he dreamt of a ladder, and we call it now famously Jacob's ladder. He went to sleep and dreamt about a ladder from heaven to earth, and angels were going back and forth on it, and he heard the voice of God, and God said he made a promise to him, and he woke up, and the Bible said he built an altar. What does that mean? He worshiped. Why did he worship? Because of that dream. He was pricked by God, and he woke up. The first thing he did was worship. That's what worship is. Yes, if you got to come and go through the practice. When I was a kid, like I said, my mother made me take baths. I don't take a bath. But man, I saw the benefits of it. I was in there scrubbing. When you come to church, yes, your kids don't want to be here all the time. Who was dragged to church when they was a kid? Huh. Oh, yeah. But man, you can't tear worship out of me. I see the benefits. God is calling us to a healthy relationship, and it's called worship. It's so many people. How many times you heard people? They're falling in sin. They're struggling. What's one of the things they do? They stop coming to church. They recluse themselves from the church. Let me give you another way to think of this. When you are in sin, church is the place to be. That's the place to be. If you are struggling with drug addiction, if you're struggling with alcohol, if you're struggling in relationships, when you're struggling in work, when you're struggling in this, that, and the other, when you're struggling with things, get to the building so you can fellowship with your brothers and sisters, because God has someone that's sitting there waiting for you.
That's all right.
Because if you don't come, Satan has someone waiting for you. Worship is a medicine. It's a medicine that will open you and will put you in the right place, because it makes you look at yourself. As a minister, I study the Bible all the time. I'm reading the Bible. I'm looking at preachers. I'm looking at scriptures and stuff on YouTube and learning stuff. I'm doing it all the time. Every time I open the Bible, you know what? I see my sins. I see God, I see. See, but when I keep reading, I see my forgiveness, and I keep on reading. God wants to get close. Y'all remember that song? Boom, 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 boom. Some of y'all singing already. Sitting here in this chair. Y'all know, what did you say? I want to get next to you. That's what God wants. I want to get close. There's a song we sang. He says, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you. No, I was joking. I was joking. But he's trying to say, I want to get close. But Lord, I'm a sinner. Remember, go back and look in Luke 11. That's homework. I want you to read Luke 11. It's not for tomorrow, but still look at it. Luke 11, Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. At the end of that, when Peter ran up to him and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, he said, come with me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. So when you come to church, beat up from sin, and you realize that's where God wants you to be. I'm a sinner. Amen. And he says what? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's worship. Worship is more than just religious calisthenics. It is a spiritual
truth thing that God says, I want you to beat up the sin in your life. God is so merciful. If you come to worship with the idea of spirit, Brother Nelly, how do you do that? Because I've been doing this so long. How do I change that mentality? Worship before you come. When I say worship before you come, start paying attention. The Bible teaches that Christianity is a religion of paying attention. What do we do every Sunday? We take the Lord's Supper. He said, but let a man do what? Examine himself. Pay attention. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, I believe it was 14 or 15 or somewhere in the Bible. Paul said, he said, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Paul said in 1 John 4:1, he said, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. For many false prophets are going to pay attention. Christianity is a religion of paying attention. Pay attention to yourself. So when you out there in the day, pay attention to what's happened. You know, like we have our clothes didn't come. They're here now, but our clothes didn't come when we landed. But you know what? I could have went, and fell apart. But I had to think, I'm not here for clothes. I'm here to be a light and to preach the word of God. It has nothing to do with clothes. I remember one time, and it saved me. It saved me. I had two 20s in my pocket. And I through the day, I reached out, and one 20 fell out. I didn't know. Now, I got there and got home at the end of the day. I pulled it and they said, 120? I know I had two. One of them fell out. You know what my mind immediately said? God must have wanted someone else to have that 20. But you know what happened? That kind of thinking made me go, most people have problems because they stay in the fight. They stay in the worry. They stay in this. They stay. How dare him say that to me? You ever been talking to somebody and something happened? And then 3 hours later, they still talking about it. Paul said Philippians 4, he said, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, just, of good report, think on these things. What did he say above? The God of peace will guard your heart. When you start thinking about things, you start looking, oh man, look what I could have had. Look what could have happened. Then you start seeing the prick of God. Then when you start coming into worship, let your mind meditate on that. Meditate on the word. Then when you start singing this song, you say, this world is not my home. Just a passing through. God is trying to change your mind. Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? By the renewing of your mind. Trying to things change the way you think. Why? Because that'll affect your worship. That is what we call kingdom worship. When God is delighted in only God, and you celebrate him from the prick he has given. What is his biggest prick that he gave us? The biggest stimulus? It's called Jesus Christ. Yahshua, God saves. Emmanuel, God with us. He came down on this earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And the amazing thing is, Emmett, he did it in a human body. See, what we always, I'm about ready to close, but what you know what we do? We always keep Jesus holy and that's what we always keep Jesus. So Jesus was just, you said something at the table Sunday that was so true. Jesus had a choice. We just think, oh, it's just going to automatically happen. Yeah, I get what you're saying there, but you forget Jesus could have said, bring all those angels, Peter. Jesus could have said, you know, David, I changed my mind. He could have. Jesus could have sinned once. He could have sinned once.
wasn't that just hold on because he was walking like a robot and he couldn't. Jesus could have done it, but he chose not to. Same as we do. We can do the same thing. He chose not to, and he did it in a human body without sin. Wow. Have you ever tried to go without sinning? Some of us just like, no, I ain't gonna try. I know me. And I ain't gonna say try not to sin. Should I end up having an aneurysm or something? Jesus did it. What they say, around 33 years he lived? 33 years and never, not one time, sinned. Why? Because he knew you was coming into the world. That's the prick. He lived a perfect sinless life. He died the cruel death. I'll let you go up and look, and you probably heard some of the stuff, the realities and the biology and the psychology and the physiology that Jesus had to go through. They said he should have been dead before he got to Golgotha. But he went through that. They buried him, but he got up. Why? He knew you were coming. That's the prick. What's going to be your response? Well, my church said, I don't care how many times Emmett said it, I don't care how many times I said it, I don't care how many times the Church of Christ said it. Do not follow it because of that. You follow it because it is written. That and only that. He said, do you believe it? If you believe it, the Bible says, repent. That says, turn to God and then confess that he is the Son of God. And then the Bible says, be baptized. Why? To have your sins washed away. Isaiah 59:1, it says, and 1 and 2, I believe it is, it says, it is not that God's arms are short that he can't reach, or his ears dull that he can't hear, but your iniquities have separated you. It's only sin that separates us and God. He said, be baptized. And let me tell you something. It's not just a ritual. Just like worship, it's not just a ritual. He said, be baptized. Why? To have your sins washed away. That you may be filled with his spirit. And that you may be added to his kingdom, the church. And then the Bible says, 1 John 1:7, what? Walk in the light, as he is in the light. Then you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Y'all, if you're not baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, I'm begging you, don't put it off. Because the Bible says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. But he says in Revelation, blessed are they who die in the Lord. Please, if you don't agree with me, I'm not a Bible genius. Come talk to me out there. Please. But please don't walk away. I treated you fairly and I told you what I believe. If you disagree with me, I'm holding you obligated to share with me. Y'all, let's do this thing right and let's go home. Amen. Everybody stand. We're calling you, and we don't want this to be just a ritual. We're calling you, and you know if you haven't been baptized into Christ, you know if you've just been doing stuff, you know if you didn't, you got taught in a religion about something, you're just responding to that. I'm asking you to respond to the scriptures and the scriptures alone. So when we sing this song, please just don't sing it. Think about your place and let the prick cause you to respond by coming forward. Let us sing.
Who's at the door is standing, patiently drawing near.
He's calling.
Entrance within demanding. Who's at the door? I hear sweet little tongues are falling.
abide with me. You may be seated. I want people to know this. I am a minister in the Church of Christ, and I don't preach Church of Christ doctrine. I preach scripture. I don't try. People ask me, where you go to church sometimes? I said, Church of Christ. But I said, but I'm going to talk to you with the scriptures. Right. We don't have handbooks, and we don't have it right. Some things we got wrong. Some things we should mess up on. Some. If you ask somebody at Church of Christ about this, somebody's going to have two or three different answers, just like any other church. But the bottom line is, the Bible's right. It's only the Bible, not me, not Emmett, not this church, not any building, not any other doctrine. The Bible and the Bible alone. God is calling us because his word sets us free. Franklin, look at me. I love you.
Good evening, church. Outstanding message from our brother Nannery. I